Honey?
Yeah?
Do you know what this light switch does?
Which one?
The one on the right.
I never use that one.
All right, will you look?
Yep.
On? Off? On?
No.
Well, are you looking?
Yes.
Off? On? Off? On? Off? On? Off? On? Off?
Life comes at you fast. Be ready with Nationwide Investments Retirement Insurance.
I'm at you fast, doesn't it? Can anybody relate to that, lady? We have those moments in life where life just seems to be going along. Everything is smooth. Our world is just all as it's meant to be, that everything's exactly the way you want it. And then, bam, something hits us. There's a storm. There's a gale. And so as we pick up in Mark chapter 4, looking at Jesus, we see he's finished up his parables, and he's getting ready to move on. And so it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side,' leaving the crowd behind. They took him along, and just as he was in the boat, there was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves. 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" Life comes at us fast. Man, you know, you just never seem to know when things are coming, do you? Have you ever had, like, problems? Like, sometimes, once in a while, you get lucky and you kind of get this feeling. Things are not working quite right, and you're like, okay, something's coming. What's going on? But a lot of times, my experience in life is that you don't really get that chance, do you? You don't usually think to yourself, well, bad's coming my way. And that's how it was for the apostles. You see, when we look at this story, these apostles going out on the water had no idea that anything was coming. And there's three reasons I think this. The first is that people know how to tell when storms are coming, don't they? Tell me if you guys have ever heard this before. I'm a sailor, so I got a little bit of an edge on it. Red in the morning, so sailor take warning. Red at night, sailor's delight. It's such a common phrase, such a common knowledge. People know this. Like, if I walk outside and it's a nice red night, I'm going, oh, good. Nice day tomorrow. I can go get out on the water. Life is going to be good. If I wake up and I walk out the door and it's red, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I don't want to go to Cherry Creek today. Maybe today's not the day to break the boat out. So people have an idea of what storms look like. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 2 through 3, he replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the skies, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." So even at this time, people knew. People knew what they were looking at. They knew what to look for to see storms. And we try to do that, don't we? How many times do we turn on the weather channel before we head off for work, right? Or for those of us who are a little more tech savvy, you pull out your app and you go, oh, okay, it's not rain until 3 o'clock today. We have some general idea of what storms look like. And so when we see them, we try to prepare for them, don't we? Like, if I see the weather says it's going to rain at 3 o'clock, even if it's not raining now, guess what I'm bringing with me? My rain jacket, right? I'm going to try and be prepared. I'm going to try and make sure that everything is the way that it's supposed to be. The second thing about this is that one-third of Jesus' disciples were, in fact, professional fishermen. They were professional seamen. Now, there are up to six of them going out and fishing. But we know that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were in fact professional fishermen. They fished on this lake. Let me tell you something, guys. If you've spent your whole life doing something, as little boys, they were on this lake. Little boys, they were out to sea. When you do something, as long as these men had been doing it, you get a sixth sense about it, don't you? If you grow up playing in the same woods all your life, nobody knows those woods better than you. If you grow up in the same town your entire life, nobody knows that town better than you, do they? You're the one that people are coming to going, hey, where do we go to have fun? Oh, you got to check out this water hole. Nobody knows about it, right? And so there's this reality, this real sense that these guys should have known if anything was going on. They would know how to feel if the boat was not working right, like what was wrong with it, how to fix it. Like John, one of our deacons, he's been a mechanic for so long. I guarantee you, get in a car with John, he can tell you, give you a general idea what's wrong with your car. Well, that bumping is probably, matter of fact, I'll tell you a story. John and Bob, back when I had my Yaris before Julie, came walking up to my car window and they said, John, you're going to need a new alternator. What? Like, yeah, the bearings are going out on your alternator. Just hearing my car run. They knew what I needed. Well, Bob Lawrence said, well, don't worry, I'll help you with it. And what he meant was he would teach me how to change an alternator. What he didn't know is I was a construction mechanic in the Navy. I was taught how to change alternators. I choose not to do that anymore. But the point I'm making is that when you get to that point, when you have that knowledge, you can feel the shift on the water. You can see the shift in the clouds. And if something was bothering them, if something was a concern for them, don't you think they'd have said something to Jesus? They'd have been like, Master, this is not a good time to be out on the waters. There's a storm brewing. But what do? Scripture tells us not only did they go, it says that they took the boat just as it was. They just grabbed, they're like, oh, okay. You know, we remember earlier in the passage, it says they were dragging the boat along the waterfront so that if it got too crowded, Jesus could go preach out on the water. So they've got this same boat. It's prepared the exact same way. And they're just like, all right, well, hop in. We're going. Now, if you know you're going up against something serious, do you bring the same stuff as if it's just a calm, sunny day? No. I mean, if I'm going to go backpacking for a day, I'm going to bring enough food for the day. I'm going to bring something warm in case I get lost so I can stay warm overnight. Maybe bring a little emergency kit. I'm not going to bring a whole lot. I'm just going to, you know, like, okay, well, let's go. I got my jacket. I got a few things. Let's just go. Let's go hike for the day. But if I'm going to go hike for a week, you better believe it's going to be a very different pack, right? I better make sure I brought plenty of food. I better make sure I brought something to purify some water. Better make sure I got what I need. Because if I don't, I could end up dead on this trip, right? So we prepare for what we expect. We prepare for where we think we're going. That's why Nationwide made that commercial. It's like, hey, guys, be prepared. Bad things happen. We'll sell you insurance. Right? So we do. We try to prepare. We try to make sure that we're in a place where we're ready for the storms. And these apostles didn't see any need to be ready. Didn't see any need. That's pretty amazing for guys that are professionals. The other thing that really stood out to me is that it said that there were other boats also in the water. Now, I want you to understand something. Like, in our society today, people buy boats for recreation, right? Like, so if you go out to the Cherry Creek Reservoir, there's people with jet skis and boats and all kinds of stuff going on out there. That's not what boats were for back then. They didn't just have their little ski-doo out there to go have fun on the weekend. These were professional. I know it's a rough, rough life, these poor people. But they were working boats, okay? So everybody that was out there was somebody who knew something about the water, right? And they were out there too. So not just a couple confused fishermen, a whole bunch of confused fishermen. Really makes you think, doesn't it? You know, the sad thing about our reality is that when things are going smooth, we feel like we're in control, don't we? When things are going smooth, we feel like we've got it. I've got it. Everything's going. And that's how these apostles were. That's how they were. They were looking and going, okay, Jesus, we don't need anything else. Let's just go ahead and we'll go across. We're good fishermen. We've done this all our life. We know how to steer this boat. We know how to get us there. So we got you, Jesus. We're going to get you across. We're going to get things going. Do you ever feel that way in your life? My life's pretty good. I got things going. I'm moving in a good direction. I'm getting things in order. But do we really? You see, the reality is that the apostles weren't being arrogant. They weren't trying to be self-sufficient. They were trusting in their own instincts. They were trusting in their own abilities. And we naturally start to do that in our own lives. I start to look at myself and go, okay, God made me a speaker, so I should be able to speak to anybody. I should be able to communicate in a certain way. I should be able to do these certain things. God's given me certain athletic abilities, so I should be able to handle certain physical things. I should be able to do, whatever that is. You know, for me, it was playing sports when I was a kid. Now it's throwing heavy bags at my other job. You know, like, my body should be able to handle this. And so it's so natural for us when we have certain things going on to start to trust in our own ability. But the reality is storms do hit quickly, don't they? Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe with all my heart that this was a supernatural storm. I don't think that this was just like they weren't paying attention and then all of a sudden it hits. I believe wholeheartedly that Satan was trying to bring an attack upon Jesus at this point. And I want to explain why I believe this. There's two reasons. Number one, Satan did not understand the kingdom of heaven, did he? If Satan had understood what the cross meant, he would have never pushed these men to put Jesus on the cross. If Satan had known that the cross meant salvation for all who believe in Jesus Christ, he would never have done it. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing is that this more than likely looks like a great opportunity for Satan. You look and you go, I've got the Son of God sleeping in a boat in the middle of a giant lake. Here's my chance. You see, the Bible tells us that Satan is the ruler of this world, that he has dominion over this world. And so these waves start hitting, they start crashing, they start moving. And I'll tell you the third reason why I believe that this was supernatural. Look at what Jesus did when he calmed the storm. It says he rebuked it. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and instantly it became silent. You know where else we saw that? When Jesus was casting out demons, he rebuked them, and instantly they came out. Now, I can't prove this, okay? So I have to tell you that. I can't say with all certainty. Don't walk out saying, John said that the devil caused this storm with all certainty. But what I can tell you is that our enemy is working to try to create storms in our life. And we see this for Job. In Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, it says, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put your servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire from God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has come to escape to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down your camels and made off with them. They put your servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Life happens fast. He went from being wealthy and powerful. He went from having a large family that he cared for to nothing. To nothing. In our lives, we face these storms. These waves hit. They blow. They cause turmoil. Where do we go? What do we do? You see, Job was a good man. He was a godly man. He did the right thing. You know that Job offered sacrifices for his sons and daughters just in case they sinned. Not because of something he knew, just because there's a chance that while they were feasting that they might have done something wrong. You see, there was nothing Job could do. His righteousness didn't save his family. It didn't save his world. And the same is true for these apostles. Their gifts, their talents, their abilities, everything that they knew how to do was not enough to stop it from happening. The storms of life are too big for who we are as human beings. And so the question that we come to is, when the storm hits, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Where do you turn when things go wrong? See, we know that the apostles weren't ready for this storm. But you know what I do know is that these apostles started out trying to do it in their own power. You know how I know that? It's not because it says the apostles did it in their own power. It says because the apostles were terrified. They were afraid. Do you know where fear comes from? It comes from our trying to control. The reason why we become so fearful is that deep down inside, we know we're not big enough. We know we're not strong enough. That when the pressures of this world collapse on our shoulders, that our shoulders are not big enough to hold them. That's why we become afraid, because there's a very clear realization in our hearts, I'm not big enough. I am not strong enough. And Satan uses that, doesn't he? That's why we love the song, Fear is a Liar. Because Satan loves to convince you. He loves to get you focused on yourself and what you can't do and what you're not capable of and how this is too much for you. You see, these apostles would have been out there doing everything they could. They'd have been steering the boat into the waves so that they wouldn't capsize. They'd have been pulling their sails up so they wouldn't get torn by the winds. They'd have been directing people where to stand and where to move to make sure that the ship was balanced, and doing everything that they could. They finally came to the point where they looked, and where was Jesus? Sleeping easy. Now, let me tell you how hard that is, okay? Like I said, I was a sailor. I spent 6 years in the Navy. I spent 2.5 of those years on the USS Carl Vinson, an aircraft carrier, okay? Now, one cool thing about an aircraft carrier is it's big enough that little waves don't bother you. You don't even hardly feel the rock. It's like a floating city, okay? But every once in a while, there was no way to avoid storms. We had to sail into them. You couldn't sail around them. They were just too big. And inevitably, it always seemed like when we were going from Hawaii to San Diego that we'd hit one of these storms. And I'm talking major. We're talking 16, 20-foot waves that this ship is going through. And you are cutting, and you feel the ship go up, and you feel the ship drop. And you feel the ship go up and turn to the right and drop. And even though you know that they got it under control, you know and you trust that the abilities of these people that are steering the ship are going to get you through. There is no sleeping. You are not going to sleep through that storm, because the first time you lay your head down on the rack and actually let yourself go to sleep, you know where you're going to end up? Floop! Right on the deck, which is the floor, for those who don't know Navy terminology. There's no sleeping through that kind of storm. The kind of storm that would sink a boat is that kind of storm. And where's Jesus? Sleeping like a baby. Although I don't think that's good terminology after having babies. They don't sleep as good as people think. But he's calm. He's at peace. Why? Why is he so calm when everybody else is just in chaos? He knew where to put his trust. Jesus knew where to put his trust. He knew that the Father had everything under control. He knew that the Father was going to take care of him, that the Father had plans for his life. And that no matter what he went through, no matter what storms, no matter what chaos, that if he trusted in the Lord, if he put his trust in his Father, that he was going to come through. Brothers and sisters, we must not wait until the storms of our life get out of control to turn to Jesus. I have to tell you, I can't blame the apostles for why they did what they did, okay? I refuse to sit up here and judge them for being afraid, okay? Because the world is a crazy and scary place. The things that we go through, the things that happen are more than we can comprehend. And even if I sat up here and gave you examples for the rest of the day, I couldn't cover all of what you've all been through independently. You know your storms. You know your chaos. And you see, even though they had every reason to be afraid, even though they could reasonably be said to be afraid because they didn't understand what Jesus was capable of, think of how much peace they could have had if when the wind started blowing and the waves started chopping, if they'd have gone over and said, "Hey, Jesus, this is too much. Can you take care of this?" Wow. But we don't do that as much as we should, do we? Most of us, we gotta hold on to that rope as long as we can. We've got to try as hard as we can to get it done in our own power, in our own time, in our own ability. You know, what I love about this story is that Jesus, when he calms it, doesn't just do it a little bit, does he? It doesn't say, "And Jesus said, 'Storm, be calm so that my fishermen can handle the seas.'" Does it? It says, "Peace, be still." And it says the seas were completely calm. Completely calm. You know, many times for us, when we face the storms of life, when we go through these difficult situations, we want to give them over to Jesus, don't we? We want to turn them over. And I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had people say, "John, I've turned it over to Jesus, but I'm still feeling so anxious. I'm still feeling so overwhelmed." can I politely tell you the truth? You haven't actually turned it over to Jesus. If we're still feeling anxious, if we're still feeling overwhelmed, if we're still feeling all of this turmoil, we really, really, really haven't given it to God. And the reason I think for a lot of, I should just say for myself, let's just focus on me. The reason that I still feel these things the majority of the time is because I don't want Jesus to actually take care of it for me. Can you relate to that? Like, I don't want him to do it for me. You know, it kind of feel like my son when he's, you know, as a toddler, he's getting to a point where he wants to eat his own food. He wants to scoop with his own spoon. He wants to do, and you know, and so I want to be like, okay, here, buddy, you know, we can't get that shirt messy. I want to do it, Daddy. And that's still how I feel about my life. I feel, and so many times when I feel anxious and overwhelmed and I go, Lord, take it away, and I don't let go of it, it's because I didn't really give it to him. I didn't really say, this is yours, God, and I'm not going to touch it anymore. I'm going to let it be yours because I want what we talked about a second ago. I want God to calm the storm just enough so that I can handle it on my own. I want him to calm it down just enough so that I can do it on my own. Guys, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I want to share a story with you guys because, you know, one of my favorite passages says, be anxious and nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests made known, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will be with you. You know, I've been having issues for years. I co-signed a loan with my brother a long, long time ago. And somehow the loan that I co-signed with him, which I paid off, got connected to two other loans that he had taken out prior to the time that I signed the loan. And so I had creditors harassing me over loans that weren't mine. And I'd sit there and I'd tell them, like, look, yeah, you're absolutely right. Your boss deserves to get paid by my brother. Not by me. That's not my debt. And so over and over again, I was doing everything I could. I finally got a lawyer, finally started doing everything in my power to try and take care of this and get them to leave me alone. And then all of a sudden, I'm on vacation with Julie. JJ's 2 months old, and we're at her dad's house sleeping on a pull-out couch, and I get a phone call with a voice message saying, we're going to put this on your credit report, so you better call us. I'm on vacation. I'm trying to relax, and all of a sudden, my blood pressure just goes through the roof. Mad, frustrated, you know. And then I thought to myself, do I believe in God's word? Do I really believe in what God says? He told me to be anxious in nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make my request known. And I chose to do that night. And I just prayed, God, this is yours. I can't do this. And you know what I felt? Peace. Instantly. It didn't come in the morning. It didn't come years from then. It came right at that point because at that point, I truly surrendered it. And I said, this is not mine. I can't do this. Only you can. And God's worked it out. God's taken care of that problem in my life. And I praise him for that. I wish I could say that my life always goes like that. It's always nice telling you good stories, but the reality is that I am a broken human being, and I don't always give things over to God the way that I should. But what I want you to understand, what I want to make clear to you today, is that that power that calmed the storm is available to each and every one of us. The power of Jesus Christ has not changed. It has not diminished. What he can do in your life will blow you away. The question is, are you ready to surrender? Are you ready today to make a decision that life doesn't work on your own terms? Are you ready today to look inside your own heart and ask yourself the question, is Jesus Christ the answer to my problems? Am I truly ready to give up the old man that lives in me, the one that wants to control things, the one who's drowning in the water, to trust in the one who said, peace be still, and completely calmed the waters? Because this is the choice. This is the choice. You see, Jesus told us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And he told us in Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes in this truth and is baptized will be saved. We will be saved. In Romans 6, he tells us that our baptism is our death, it's our burial, it's our resurrection. That just as Christ died, we die to ourselves in the waters of baptism. We are buried with him spiritually, our old man dying in those waters and rising again to a new life, a clean life, a life set to surrender to the will and the power of the Holy Spirit who will now indwell us. There's nobody here who that's not available to. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. It's for all who will seek him. Life does come at us fast. And these storms, they come without warning. You are not capable of doing it on your own. So who will you turn to? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, there's so much chaos in this world. So many things that we deal with every day, whether it's the work of the enemy trying to separate us from you or the brokenness of our world. Lord, we know that our earth is broken and fallen because of sin, that corruption has come upon this earth. And so, Lord, we look around and it just seems so depressing. It seems so overwhelming, all of the things that are demanded of us, all of the things that that are just laid on our shoulders. And Lord, when we feel like we can't bear anymore, it always seems like there's just one more thing. But Lord, for those who are in you, there is peace. There is peace and power in your name. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son to come to this earth, and that he showed us how we can be, that in the storms of life that rock the boat, that shake men, that there is the ability to sleep, to rest in you. Lord, I pray that we will all put our trust in you today, that we will all have the peace that comes through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there are any here today who have not made you their Lord and Savior, who have not made the commitment to you, that today will be the day that they become ready, that today will be the day that they surrender their life to you in baptism, washing away all of the sin, all of that old man, surrendering themselves to you in that water, and rising again, putting faith in the work that you do in them as they rise to a new life. Lord, I just thank you for your love and your mercy. And I pray this all in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.